You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I always loved that commercial. Can you hear me now? It is an honor to be back here. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, the Lord is. I just feel a sweet presence here today. You know, we believe God for healing, and I've seen Him heal. Amen? Yes. We believe God for the finances we need. He supplies. Amen. One of the hardest things to believe God for is our own family. Can I say amen on that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I feel strong you're going to see family shake during this holiday season. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. I love these churches that I don't have to take my watch off. There's a clock there for me to see. I mean it. Praise God. I kind of make it look like it's part of the procedure. You know, you slip your watch off. And we're going to start with the 8th verse. It's a very familiar verse. But before we do, I'm going to tell you a cute little Jewish story. Praise God. Now, you notice as I speak and as I preach, I walk around. How many have heard of the wandering Jews? Praise the Lord. I'm just one of them. How many have seen pictures of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people, the ones that dress in black and white, live in mostly New York and places like this? And you'll find them in Israel, but there's a large group of them in New York. And there's a story about one of them who came up to one of his Jewish friends named Jaime. And he said, Jaime, he says, I have a problem. Jaime says, what is it? He said, my son, he become a Christian. Jaime says, funny you should say that. For my son, he become a Christian. But he says, I know what to do. I'll ask the rabbi. So Jaime meets with the rabbi a couple days later. The rabbi says, Jaime, my friend, how can I help you? Jaime says, oh, rabbi, I'm so embarrassed to tell you, but he said, I have a problem. He said, my son, he become a Christian. The rabbi says, funny you should say that. For my son, he become a Christian. But he says, I know what to do. I'll ask the Rebbe. The Rebbe knows what to do. The Rebbe is the, in those ultra-Orthodox areas, the highest rabbi. He's like the local pope, for better, you know, lack of a better term. Takes him 2 weeks to get an audience with the Rebbe, and the rabbi goes and visits the Rebbe in the synagogue. And the Rebbe says, oh, you've waited a long time to see me, my friend. What is your problem? And the rabbi says, oh, Rebbe, I'm so ashamed to tell you, but he said, my son, he become a Christian. The Rebbe's eyes pop. He looks around and he says, funny you should say that. For my son, he become a Christian. But he says, I know what to do. He said, I'll have everyone leave the synagogue and I will talk to the Lord and He will tell me what to do. So he says, everyone leave the synagogue, puts guards by the doors, and he goes to the altar of the synagogue and he's praying. After about 20 minutes, he says, oh Lord, Lord, I have a problem. He says, my son, he become a Christian. And all of a sudden, the synagogue begins to shake and a voice from heaven says, funny you should say that. Man, some of you got blessed before the punchline. That was good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even though these are familiar verses, I pray they never sound the same again. Verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Everybody say good tidings.
Good tidings.
Say of great joy,
which
will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's thank Him for His Word. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, the power of Your Word. Again, Your Word says it will not return void, but accomplish what You please and prosper in the thing where You've sent it. This day, Your Word is not returning void. It is accomplishing what You please. It's prospering in the hearts and the lives of the people at the sound of this voice. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. For almost 2,000 years, when the Jewish people first heard about the prophecies of the coming Messiah, each generation hoped it would take place in their lifetime. Now, about 750 years earlier than this, of course, Isaiah prophesied, "Unto us a child is born, a child is given." Praise God. But there was something special that the angel said here that shocked the shepherds. I need to take you back to what took place about 25 to 30 years ago at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Not only do they have top Hebrew scholars, Jewish scholars, but they have some Christian scholars that are there. And together, as they were working on the scrolls that they were finding of the Gospels, they kept seeing a recurring element in the Gospel of Luke, and that was this. Even though it was written, now they were all written in biblical Greek, but in the Gospel of Luke, they kept finding scrolls where the sayings of Jesus slipped over to biblical Hebrew. And when the angel spoke to the shepherds in those scrolls that changed to Hebrew with Jesus' sayings, that verse was in Hebrew where he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The reason that stood out, the angel was not just announcing the birth of Christ. He said something that triggered the shepherds to cause them to go so ballistic. Put the sheep away, put on their new Nikes, and head to Bethlehem. Now I have to say, Pastor, I added the Nike part. Praise God. The angel was quoting part of Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Now many people don't realize this is a messianic chapter that has been sung through the centuries. It is the smallest chapter in the book of Isaiah. But I want you to put a Bible marker in Luke 2. We're going to come back to it. And we're going to be hitting about four or five scriptures today. Praise God. Skip back to Isaiah, the 12th chapter. We're just going to cover the first three verses, even though all six of them were hymns of praise. Praise God. Isaiah 12, it says in verse 1, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you." How many praised God when you accepted Jesus as your Savior? "Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you have comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." The kicker, the main verse here, is verse 3. I'm going to have you repeat three words. "Therefore with joy," everybody say joy. "Shall you draw water," say water,
"water,
from the wells of salvation." Salvation, you can say that too. Praise God. Hallelujah. This verse has been sung and danced to in Hebrew probably since it was written. They don't know how far back it goes, but even the days of Jesus, they sung and danced to this. In the synagogues, when they have times of, especially the Messianic synagogues, ones who believe in Jesus, when we've ministered there, they always like to sing and dance to this verse of Scripture. And it's a dance of praise. The non-believing Jews still sing and dance to it because it's a powerful verse. Let me take it apart in Hebrew. It says, "Therefore with joy." In the Old Testament biblical Hebrew, there are three Hebrew words for the English word joy. This one is the most extreme of them all. Transliterated, it's sason, it's pronounced in Hebrew, but the English letters are S-A-S-O-W-N. Sason just doesn't mean be happy, be joyful. It means you're so happy you lose it. Praise God. You jump off the ground. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. How many of us have done that before? Praise God. How many football fans do we have here? And this is talking about getting that excited because God blessed you so much. When the night my daughter was born, I thought I'd never sleep again. I got so excited. Praise God. With extreme joy shall you draw water. The Hebrew word here for water is mayim. M-A-Y-I-M in English letters. Mayim doesn't just mean a drink of water, a glass of water, I'll splash you with water. It literally means, and this is taught in the synagogues, flowing living water. Hallelujah. Or streams of living water. Whew, they were waiting for the living water to come alive in their lifetime. Then it goes on to say, from the wells of salvation. If I need to slow down, let me know. My wife tells me, honey, sometimes you talk so fast. There are three Hebrew words. Am I allowed to step down here with the portable mic? It won't go boop or anything like that. No, I'll be fine. I'll just venture back. I need the exercise. Praise God. But thank you for asking. There are three Hebrew words in the Old Testament translated the English word salvation. The one used here is used more often than the other two. But what's so special about it, it's not just one of the Hebrew words for salvation. It is the Hebrew name of Jesus. Yeshua. Therefore, with extreme joy shall ye draw streams of living water out of the wells of the Messiah Jesus. When the shepherds heard the angel talk about that great joy, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Sasson, get ready to jump and shout. That's exactly what they did. Now let me bring this out. The lowest profession, the one looked most down upon back then, were shepherds. It was considered a dirty, uneducated occupation. Those that couldn't find anything else just became shepherds. That wasn't always true, but the higher ups enjoyed looking down on them. Aren't you glad we don't have those kind of people today that look down, you know? God hand-picked the shepherds to hear about this first. Hallelujah. Because He knew they were going to go ballistic. Hallelujah. Put the sheep away. Let's get over there. It was with this same joy that the wise men experienced when they found the child Jesus. Quickly, in Matthew 2:10, I love this verse. Matthew, the second chapter, it's a small verse, but it shows the extreme joy. The Greek here literally talks about the same thing the Hebrew word sason does. Man, just jump in excitement. Praise God. Verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I believe those wise men with their entourage did a dance of joy, getting excited. Now, I want to share something with you that has escaped the Christmas teaching through the years. I love to bring out the Jewish roots of the gospel. I like to tell people I don't come here as a know-it-all because I'm a Jewish believer. Friends, I had to learn born again and spirit-filled and all the terminology church uses from scratch. I never heard the word fellowship. I thought it had something to do with a boat. It ends in ship. You know, we use words the world never uses, you know. And I'd learned born again, spirit-filled, all this from scratch, so I love to bring out these roots. So I've got to ask you, how did the wise men know to follow a star? There was other phenomena in the sky just like we have today. There were comets, there were this, there were that. There were total eclipses, lunar eclipses. How did they know to follow a star? Who wants to find out? Because it's there. Praise God. Well, I'm running out of time. Maybe next time when I'm teasing. How many have ever seen a TV show you liked and they froze it and said, stay tuned next week and you want to throw a shoe at CBS and say, you know I'm not going to be here. Praise God. There was a day in the desert where a prophet talked about a trance he went into. And he saw a blazing star. The Hebrew literally means a blazing star shining like a prince. Now look at the book of Numbers. Praise God. Book of Numbers, the 24th chapter. Isn't this fun? Normally I'm shy. You guys just bring it out of me. Numbers 24. Praise God. Let me bring you up to date what's happening so we don't have to read the whole last chapter and a half. There's an evil man named Balak that wants the riches of Israel because they came out of Egypt with silver and gold overflowing on them. You hear what I'm saying? In Psalm 105, when it talks about they came out with silver and gold, the Hebrew literally describes they had so much it was falling off of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe God wants to bless us? Praise God. So he asked Balaam, who was a good prophet, to prophesy against Israel. And he offered sacrifices and wanted to give them gifts and all this. And three times Balaam simply prophesied with the Lord, said blessings. Balak got mad. He thought he could buy God. He thought he could buy prophecy. And so he came to him and said to Balaam, I've done this, I've done that. Have my servants give you this? And here's Balaam's answer. Verse 13. If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak. And now, indeed, I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. Now, it gets repetitive, but he talks about the trance and the vision he saw. Verse 15, so he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. This is it. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. For a star shall come out of Jacob. How many in your Bibles is that word star capitalized? It literally means, you can look this, and Strong's really got this one totally correct. A blazing star shining as a special prince. Now friends, from that moment on, each Jewish generation told the next, glory to God, the star will lead them. Some generation will come and the star will lead them. You know, the sad part about this, so many of the Jewish people by that time got away from God, got into their own theologies, got into their own mess, because there could have been 1,000 people following that star if they'd followed the Scripture. But there were wise men. And the wise men had to be with an entourage or they would have never made it there alive. We don't know how many wise men there were. We know there were three gifts. Praise God. They saw the star. They knew this is prophetic. This is what Balaam saw in that trance. Glory to God. We're going to follow it. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to have people who are obedient to God? Thank you, Lord. Follow His Word. Now, I want to talk to you about a group of people some of you may have heard of. They're called the Essenes. E-S-S-E-N-E-S. They're the ones that wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. How many are familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls? They were very prophetic. 200 years approximately before Christ was born, they took all their people, except for a small percentage that stayed in Jerusalem, there was a purpose for this, and moved them out into the desert areas because they felt the rest of Israel is backslidden, which it was. And they were strong with the Lord. They were very messianic. Glory to God. And they kept kept taking turns living in Jerusalem for a year or so. You see, when they were around when Jesus was there, and when Jesus had the Last Supper, and you'll see this if you go to Israel, praise God, He picked the Essene section of the city. They prepared that Passover meal, that Last Supper. Now, I said all that to say this. About 150 years before Christ was born, the Essenes were the first people on the face of the earth to take the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament and put them into two columns. What you see today, the scriptures about Jesus coming the first time and the second time, that all came from the Essenes. The columns we still have today came from the Essenes. They saw the Messiah would come twice. Now get ready for this. This was taught in over half the synagogues in Israel in the days of Jesus. It got stopped being taught after Jesus rose from the dead. And well, I'll tell you all that in a moment because I'm jumping ahead. The Essenes gave a Hebrew name for each advent of the Messiah. When he would come the second time and reign like a king, They called him in Hebrew Mashiach ben David, which in English means Messiah, son of David, because they saw he would reign like David the king. Doesn't that make sense? Now remember, this is a century and a half before Christ was born. Y'all with me? Do you know what they named the Messiah, the same Messiah when he would come the first time and be born on earth and then grow up and suffer and die for our sins and be resurrected? They called him in Hebrew Mashiach ben Yosef, in English Messiah, son of Joseph. Hallelujah. Who wants to know why? Praise God. They paralleled him. Did they know that his foster father would be named Joseph? That we don't know. But they wrote the reasons why. There were four reasons. They paralleled him with Joseph in the Old Testament. Rejected by his own brethren. Sold for the price of a slave, which was about 30 pieces of silver at the time. Left for dead. You see, Jacob and Joseph's brothers later, they thought Joseph was dead. Jesus was left for dead. And in the midst of natural famine, Joseph showed himself alive to save his people. And in the midst of spiritual famine, Jesus showed himself alive to save his people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Messiah, son of Joseph. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got to throw this in real quick. The Essenes did one other thing. They did many things. They preserved the Scriptures. They did so much. They talked about how God told them to preserve the Scriptures because Israel is going to be destroyed. And it happened. But they also... Now, this is not fact. Is everybody with me? They also thought they knew the day the Messiah would be born. I mean, the day. And here's what they zeroed in on. How many remember when I might have shared a little bit about this one, I'll see the last time on the seven feasts. The last feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. The last day of that last feast, praise God, is called the Great Day of the Feast. Something happens that day. That's one of 2 days of the entire year. Only one of 2 days where every candle, candelabra, and lantern in the temple is lit up. The temple is like a small town. This thing would shine, and every Jewish family, every Israelite family, was to bring in at least one torch or lantern. The Gentile nations wrote about how it looked like Jerusalem was on fire. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, they thought Jesus would be born then. Praise God, the light of the world. Now let's just say, possibly they might be right. Y'all with me? How many believe we serve a perfect God? And how many, well, if we serve a perfect God... Let's say the gestation period Mary had with Jesus was a perfect 40 weeks. Y'all with me? If you go from the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles back 40 weeks to the exact day, you come to the only other day of the year where they lit up every light in the temple and every family lit up the city. Isn't that amazing? That was the last day of an extra feast. That originally was called the Festival of Lights. In Jesus' day, it was called the Festival of Lights and also the Feast of Dedication, which he celebrated in John the 10th chapter. But you and I know it by its modern name called Hanukkah. So if the Essenes were right, Jesus would have been conceived on the first day of the year when they lit up the temple and lit up the city and would have been born on the only other day of the year that took place. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Praise. Now, there's no fact to this, but I love to throw that in. Turn back to Luke, the second chapter. Praise God. Isn't it fun to learn new things? We're to pick up with verse 12 again, the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. If they sang that, how many think there would have been good harmony? Praise God. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now. Now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Praise God. Praise God. The living water had come alive. Just like you and I. How many would love the rapture to take place in our lifetime? That's the way they felt about the birth of the Messiah. Each generation waited for the living water, the Mahim, become alive in their lifetime. And the shepherds were told, you're the ones. It's in your lifetime. Glory to God. With joy, we can let that refreshing waters from the wells of salvation splash out from our lives to others each and every day. Glory to God. Lift a hand toward heaven.